days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from offseason to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm going to talk about day three and what the 49ers did on day three to improve their team. It was an interesting day one. The 49ers went wide receiver, and of course, that didn't surprise anyone. I think wide receiver was a position of need that people thought they may address. I think Ricky Pearsall was a surprise, but we came around to it. We got excited about it. Of course, if you missed that episode, go check that out. I talk all about Ricky Pearsall. Then in round two, it was hitting more positions of need, going ahead and getting Renardo Green at pick 64 to help this football team. They envision him playing nickel corner, but he has the ability to play on the outside as well, physical in the run game. We're like, all right, here we are, two positions so far that they needed to address. And then in the third round, they go and they get Dominic Puni at pick 86, and he's going to be an interior offensive lineman that's going to help this team into the future. Will he start this year? I think that's to be determined. If you're looking for day two information, that is available as well. Go check out that episode. It's available on YouTube and all audio platforms. 49ers Cutback on Believe. But day three, the question marks were, what were they going to be looking for? When we talked on our preview show about what could happen, I said safety seemed like the most logical. You had a need at safety because of bodies. Right now, you had three safeties potentially available. You, of course, have Talanoa Hufanga, the All-Pro. He's going into his last year of his contract and coming off an injury, but he's an All-Pro safety. Jair Brown, you jumped up and traded for last year, and he stepped in injury-type situations when Hufanga got hurt and played pretty well, including an interception in the Super Bowl. Is there work to be done for Jair Brown before he can really step up into that next level of defender in this defense? Yes, but there's a lot of promise there. We're definitely excited about what Jair Brown could be. But behind them was George Odom, and Odom is a really, really good special teams player. And when he's in the box helping in the run game, he's pretty good. But he lacks a little bit when it comes to coverage. So you have three safeties and you needed to be able to address it again. So safety was definitely a position that they should address. I also said in the preview, this is kind of the area you start thinking running back. It's running back area. And guess what? 49ers were probably going to address running back at some point. So the draft gets off to kind of an interesting start in day three. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be talking all about the draft picks that the 49ers were able to make. They end up drafting five players in the late round. So three in the fourth, one in the sixth, and one in the seventh. And we'll talk about what happened to those fifth round picks as well. Please like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I appreciate it. Lots of subscriptions over the weekend. During the draft coverage, I'm so thankful for everyone that came through, whether you're watching us on 49ers Rush with John Chapman or you came here for day three or any of my recap shows. I appreciate it. Definitely, it meant a lot. So thank you. And if you're listening audio platform, it's 49ers Cutback on Believe, available on Believe Network and all audio platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. Please go ahead and give it a 5-star rating. Leave a review. I truly appreciate it so much. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. So San Francisco 49ers definitely saw safety as a position where they needed to start. And there were some pretty good safeties available when we went to day three. Now, one that was going to be available was ranked my number 102 player on my big board, and the 49ers were picking at 124, and they got a guy that they really liked. And at 124, they selected Malik Mustafa, a safety from Wake Forest. And he's an interesting guy because he has the ability to not just play safety, but in a pinch play corner. So they like his position versatility. Whenever we talk about 49ers players, it's versatility. You talk about Pearsall in the first round, they talked he could play any one of the wide receiver positions, versatility. Renardo Green can play outside, inside, and safety, versatility. Dominic Puni can play center, guard, tackle in a pinch, versatility. So what do they go and do? Malik Mustafa, versatility. And this is a safety that can absolutely run. He's put together. John Lynch called him an Adonis during the press conference because of how physically put together he is. I haven't heard that term from a GM or coach since Jim Harbaugh said that a player was an Adonis. It's always interesting. It makes me think of Harbaugh, and I laugh. But let's talk about Malik a little bit. 5'10", 209 pounds. So the 49ers like their DBs to be about 5'11 to 6'1" in that range. That usually helps with quick change of direction. The longer you are, it's a little bit harder for you to change direction. And guys who are bigger that can do it are definitely harder to find. So this is what they're looking for. 5'10", 209, so big physical guy. He always brings a thump. We'll talk about the a little bit. When it comes to hands and arm length, they're not anything that's going to get your attention. He's not built that way. Now, he ran a 4.52. What I found interesting about his 4.52, because, I mean, that's still good speed for a safety, was it was coming off a hamstring injury. So he had a hamstring injury, and he still ran at his pro day and ran a 4.52. When you watch him on film, he looks faster than 4.52, so there's the potential that he's actually quicker than that. Not to mention he's just football fast, and that's probably a term you're going to hear me use. It's something that me and the other coaches that I used to coach with used all the time, and it's a term that sometimes guys are just faster on the field because they don't have to think. They just operate and work off instinct, and Mustafa is one of those guys that is football fast because once he recognizes what he's supposed to do or where he's supposed to go, he just flies there. There's not a lot of thinking. Instinct takes over and he goes. So that's something that we can remember too when we're talking about speed. But a 41.5-inch vertical leap, dude's got crazy bounce. Broad jump, 126. That's 81 percentile. Bench press reps, 22 bench press reps. This guy works his tail off in the weight room. So we're getting a guy here that is all about the work and all about the effort. The body shows it, and then you watch the film, and it shows it. So let's get into some of the strengths of Malik Mustafa. And, of course, the first thing you always notice with some of these guys is they make Bruce Feldman's freaks list. He was number 59. But this is a guy that is a beast, including the fact that he ran a 23-mile-per-hour is GPS in a game. So they measured him, and he ran 23 miles per hour. That is fast. That's some of the fastest in the NFL. That's what I'm talking football fast. A guy can absolutely move. He's very physical and run support, and he likes to blow up plays. He gets there, and when he does, he's getting you to the ground. He's a tackling machine. So I like what he does when it comes to the run game, and that's important whether you're playing safety or you're in the slot for any apparent reason. Maybe you're covering a tight end. You got to be able to come up and stop the run. He does that. 49ers struggled a little bit with alley defenders. This guy will not struggle with that. Malik is very good in this department. He's also good in zone coverage. Got a good feel for what the quarterback's doing, reading his eyes, and having those great football instincts. That was something that was very apparent on film, and that's why the 49ers, I'm sure, really liked him. We talked about his size, compact, but an absolute beast. His body is going to be one of those guys that can hold up, whether you have him deep and he's flying up to make plays or he's playing in the box. He's physically able to handle all of that stuff. He's another guy that gets things going. He was a team captain for Wake Forest, so he riles people up. He gets them going, and that's exactly what the 49ers defense likes to have. So he's good as far as intensity as well. Good short area quickness, and he does a really good job when he blitzes or fills a gap to get there. Really good gap penetration, is a very good player in that department. He has good coverage skills, and he just moves and sticks with guys. Plus, because of that speed we talked about, he closes distances and gets on guys really, really quick. So he's a guy that's played safety and nickel. Really good football player the 49ers get at 124. Let's talk about a little of the things that maybe aren't the top shelf when it comes to Malik, and maybe why he was a fourth-round pick, is sometimes the length. We talked about he's not one of those guys that measures both hands and arms. That can make it a little bit difficult when he's going against taller NFL receivers or tight ends to be able to cover those guys man-to-man. And sometimes, what do we talk about with a lot of these guys that are defenders that we like for the 49ers? They're over-aggressive, and those pursuit angles being too aggressive allows for missed tackles. So he's got to get a little bit better at that. That's something you can get better at. So, and though he's got great ability and instincts, sometimes he's a little late to diagnose plays. So he's got to get better at that. But preparation will be a big part of that, mental preparation. He is a football guy, so he's going to be working on that. And a guy like Talanoa Hufanga could really increase the learning curve. So I like him there. And then what you got to do, too, is he's got to make sure, because of that aggressiveness, that he works on patience, being able to stay home on the backside. So that way they don't hit you with cutbacks, hit you with counterplays, misdirection that could cause you to have a little bit of problems. So those are the limited weaknesses when it comes to Malik Mustafa at 124. 49ers had a need at safety, and they addressed that need with Malik Mustafa. Now, the 49ers were set to pick next at 135. So the 49ers had made a trade to go up and get Dominic Puni, where they gave away pick 132 to go up and get Dominic Puni. Now, they had picked up pick 173 from Kansas City in day two as well. Well, the 49ers decided there was a run on running back, and they were going to go make a move. So Jalen Wright from Tennessee got drafted by Miami. And then right after that, Shipley went to Philadelphia. Ray Davis goes to Buffalo. And it's like 49ers thought, you know what, we need to go get our guy. And I did think that potentially day three, round four, made a lot of sense for the 49ers. I actually really liked the three running backs that went ahead of the 49ers. But they jumped up. And to do that and jump up, they traded both of their fifth-round picks, 173 and 176, so the newly acquired Kansas City pick to go back one spot, and also their normal fifth-round pick. They traded it to the Jets for pick 129. So big move. Don't have a problem with it. We were live. A lot of people, hey, this is aggressive. Don't mind. I think the position that the 49ers end up going with gets everyone's attention, but 49ers definitely wanted to get a certain player, and they did. The guy, Isaac Garendo, running back, Louisville. We had heard the 49ers had interest in him, that they liked Isaac Garendo. I think 49ers people looked into it. I know I did. I heard the news. I looked at Isaac Garendo. I wanted to see what he was about, so I have a real good feel for him. Let's go over his measurables. He's 6 foot, 221 pounds. You got to like that weight, 221 pounds. He's bringing a punch when he comes as far as contact. When you're looking at his 40, 4.33. So interesting thing that I found is over the last 30 years, there's only two players that have went to the combine, weighed over 220 pounds, and then ran a 4.3 40, DK Metcalf and Isaac Garendo. That'll give you an idea of the straight-ahead speed demon that he is. Now, his shuttle was 4.15, very good. That's 78th percentile. Very, very good. 10-yard split, 1.55. That means he's quick. In the first part, 41.5-inch vertical, the same we just got from Malik Mustafa. That's top 99 percentile. Broad jump, 129, top 97 percentile. Three cones, 6.94, 73 percentile. Bench press, not as strong in the upper body, but the lower body is absolutely massive. Like, the guy's got tree trunks for legs. So interesting right here. Now, the first thing I noticed about him, he accelerates so fast. He goes from 0 to 60 in no time. So he's one of those guys. He gets out in the open field, he's going to outrun angles. So if you needed a home run back, this guy can be that guy. 49ers have had home run backs before. Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, guys that once they got out, they were gone. McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell, not really those home run kind of backs. Grendo is one of those guys. So he's got that nice size and speed ratio. He's a big guy, physical, competitive demeanor. He works really hard. He plays hard. That's something you like. When you look at him, the physicalness, the dense body style that he has, very strong build. He looks big. He should be able to handle multiple carries in the NFL and handle the physical demands of a running back in the NFL. So we talked about the elite speed. He's going to be able to be good if he gets out in the open field. The interesting part is going to be him getting into the open field. He has a very interesting running style, occasional decisiveness. And I put occasional decisiveness because there's sometimes the one cut and go guy is extremely decisive. And then there's sometimes he tries to bounce it out. More on that in a little bit. And so that vision to allow him to exploit open gaps needs to get a little bit better, even though he does fit the scheme and he is a one cut and go guy. We know Elijah Mitchell coming out of college somewhat struggled with this a little bit. And then Bobby Turner got to him and Elijah Mitchell got a lot better in that rookie season, especially through training camp. I think they're expecting Grendo to have that sort of advancement as well. Can also catch the football out of the backfield. That's always good to have. Plus, he can pass protect. He's a pretty good pass protector, and he should be at 6 foot, 220 pounds. He's got that. So that's something that you know you have to have. And then he also shows resilience. So he's going to keep his legs moving, trying to fight for extra yards, which should make him, because of his size and speed, pretty effective in short or goal line situations. Those type of things make sense. He's very confident in the way that he runs and the way that he plays. And so he's a guy that could be an eventual three down running back in the NFL. Here's where it gets interesting. Some of the weaknesses for Grendo: doesn't burst out of cuts good. So if he's running fast, he would have to slow down to change direction. He can't change direction on a dime like a lot of other guys. So his ability to change direction quickly is not there, which means a lot of times once there's contact, he ends up on the ground. I know he's physical, but he just is a straight ahead runner. That's something that's very obvious on film if you watch it. So you go and you watch any of his film, that's one of the things that's going to make you see who he is right there. So he's a guy that's got to get a little bit better at that. He also has the over-reliance on bouncing plays outside. And that sometimes means you don't trust your eyes or you don't trust that a hole is going to open. And in Kyle Shanahan's system, you have to have trust. You have to see a hole that's not very big, and you have to start to go to it and then trust that it's going to open up for you. Sometimes Grendo doesn't trust that, and he bounces it outside. Will that get better playing for Kyle Shanahan? I don't know. But if he bounces outside, that's going to change his downhill running style where he's going to be the most effective. One cut and go. Get downhill, get your 220-pound frame going really fast upfield to get extra yardage. If you're going sideways, that's not where he wants to be as a running back. So that's something that he needs to get better at. And then also, he's good when it comes to blocking and holding up and pass protection, but he does get a little confused when it comes to twists and stunts and being in the right spot. Of course, those are things he's going to get better at, I'm sure, in the NFL as he gets working with Bobby Turner about what he's supposed to do. And then he needs to get a little bit better with balance and that cutting and elusiveness in the open field. There's really not elusiveness in the open field. There's a lot of guys that can make you miss on the second and third level. He's not one of those guys. And if he's going to become an elite running back in this league, he needs to get better at that part of the game. And then I wrote that his vision needs to improve. So I don't think this is a bad pick. I just thought this was a lot to give up to move up. But when you're looking for something elite, and this is something we talked about that I always say, when you're getting to day three, find elite traits and see what you can build. You got a 4.3 guy at 220 pounds. That's an elite trait. What can you get out of it? What can you build out of it? I don't mind taking guys with upside at this point. And the 49ers felt like he was a guy they wanted in their system. And let's see what happens with it. I don't like him in the open field. That the fact that he don't make anyone miss in the second and third level, those are things that I think are very valuable. because you make one guy miss in the open field and all of a sudden the 12-yard run becomes a touchdown. And he would have a lot more breakaway touchdowns if that was the case. Now, if he gets a hole, no one's there, he's gone. You ain't running him down. So 49ers get a big physical running back. Speed on day three, not shocking. And the 49ers weren't done because they had their 135 pick that came up next, and they stayed in the speed department. We talked, hey, would the 49ers double up on wide receiver? I wasn't very optimistic that they would double up, but I said I wouldn't rule it out. And boy, did they shock me, because they did go ahead and take a wide receiver, and they took Jacob Cowing out of Arizona. And we had talked about the fact that they may need a return guy leading up to the draft. Once Pearsall was drafted, I just obviously believed Pearsall was going to handle punt return duties in his rookie season, and the 49ers had handled their return duties. But not so fast. The 49ers were targeting a quick wide receiver from Arizona in Jacob Cowing. Not very big, 5'8", one of the smaller wide receivers in the entire draft, 168 pounds, 5'8", 168, that's a small guy. Hands are small, 9-inch hands. He's got short arms. Wingspan is one of the worst. That's not why you're drafting him when it comes to physical measurables. Here's why you're drafting him. 40, 4.38. He's fast. His vertical, 36-inch vertical. Those are the things that really get you. His 10-yard splits, 1.54. And really, his three cone and his shuttle are not great for his size. But this is some of the strengths that I saw on film. This guy has exceptional quickness to be able to be a good slot receiver in the NFL and a guy that should be a threat with the ball in his hands once he catches it. Run after the catch should be very significant for him. He has an array of route running ability. Now, he started at UTEP, went to Arizona, but you can see the way he creates separation. He's good at getting in and out of his breaks. Does a pretty good. I would say that his testing numbers don't reflect what he does on film. Got to give him credit for being able to create separation and exploiting coverage when he's got the right matchups, and especially when he uses his leverage. He does a good job. He uses acceleration pretty well to be able to chew up yards and cut into guys' backpedal. So he's able to get into their space, not allow them to do what they want to do. I really like that. So he gets in there, but he also causes space to make passes a little bit easier for the quarterback. That's always good. Now, when you're talking about a guy that can adjust to the football, he does a pretty good job. Even though he doesn't have a wide range to be able to catch the football, he does adjust well to the ball in space and be able to make those catches. So that's something he can do. If you get him the ball and it's a little behind him, no problem. It's a little high, no problem. He can make those catches. Of course, he brings a lot of value when it comes to the return game. He could be a 49ers punt returner. He could also help on kick return, even though I think it will lean towards running backs. But he's got that speed, and he's got pretty good vision to be able to get to the open field and make some plays happen. He's small at 168, but he is better than you would think about breaking tackles. Sometimes he does get away. He's able to bounce out. It's not every time that initial contact brings him down, but he is a lot lighter. And when players hit him, they're usually able to get him to the ground. Not going to be a guy that's going to break multiple tackles and be able to get to the house. But you get him with an arm tackle, he is one of those guys that plays physical, plays through it. Jacob Cowing can break those type plays. So he's good at that. Very competitive. That's one thing you notice on film, is that he fights a lot for extra yardage. Now, when it comes to scramble drills, he finds ways to get open. So Brock getting outside the pocket, he has a good feel for what the quarterback is doing and finds open areas to be able to get open. Does that really, really well when it comes to zone coverage. He's able to use his quickness, but then he also knows when to sit down. He doesn't run through zones, sits down in the right spots, and gives a clear path for the quarterback to be able to get him the ball. He is reliable when it comes to moving the chains on third down. So those are the strengths of Jacob Cowing, and it's speed, 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 and being able to create separation with that quickness. I think some of the things you ultimately are going to worry about when it comes to weaknesses, number one has to be the size, 168 pounds at 5'8". What's that going to look like, especially the fact that He struggles against press coverage because of the functional strength. He's just not as strong as the defender that he's going to be going against. Those are always a little bit of problems. Now, he has short arms and small hands, which means he struggles when it comes to making catches, where he's going to have to go pull it away from somebody. He struggles with that. Tight coverage can lead to drops. Those are problems for him as well. And like I brought up, he's a willing blocker. I talked about this live. He's a willing blocker, but the contributions are just not there. He's minimal effectiveness. So I like the fact he tries, but he becomes more of a shield than an effective blocker. He's not going to move anyone. Sometimes he shields in the way. That's what you're going to get as far as blocking, but he tries hard. So it's not that he doesn't give effort. It's just he's a lot smaller than some of the guys that he goes against. And so he's going to have to get lower. He's going to have to try to play physical, but that could be a weakness for him. And, you know, the 49ers have the moniker, no block, no rock. Well, he's going to have to step up and get it done. But he's a guy that's willing, and you got to give him credit for that. So the only other thing is, you know, we talked about his size. He will go down a lot of times with the first contact. So if he could get a little bit stronger, put on a little bit more weight without losing any speed and elusiveness, I think it would go a long way. So Jacob Cowing was definitely a player we heard the 49ers were interested in, and we had kind of had him tied into him, Malik Washington, and Ananias Smith from Texas A&M, guys who were slot receivers, smaller receivers who fit the bill. Funny, Washington ends up going to Miami. So those guys definitely fit what was going on within this offense and who they were looking for. So those were the top three picks for the San Francisco 49ers. Those are the fourth round picks. Then it's a long wait until you get to the sixth round. In the sixth round, pick 215, the 49ers surprised me. I did not expect the 49ers to go interior offensive line. I thought they would go a different position. We knew they needed to get a linebacker. Potentially they go linebacker. Tight end was vastly picked over. Tight ends in this draft weren't very many. It wasn't a deep draft. And by the time the 49ers picked at 215, once they got away from the two fifth-round picks, it became evident that the tight end position was not going to be something they addressed, especially since it did not appear they wanted to go with one of the tight ends that was pass first, you know, receiving guy who wasn't good at blocking. Guys like Jaheim Bell, guys like Dallin Hulker, those guys were available, but the NFL really waited until the seventh round when they hit Jaheim Bell. So those guys were not in high demand. The 49ers went interior offensive line. And truth be told, I watched maybe like a minute of film of Derek Kingston, where I actually focused on him before the draft. So I had put him in an undrafted category, but I could not even remember during the live coverage that I had watched him. I had to go back and look, and sure enough, I'd watched just a little bit just to get an idea of who he was, but I had to go back and watch film. So now we're going to get a clear picture of who I think Jared Kingston is, the offensive tackle out of USC. He's 6'4", so a little bit shorter, 306 pounds. Not the biggest. Arm length, 32 1/8. So that arm length alone means he's not going to play tackle in the NFL. You have to have at least 33-inch arms usually to play tackle in the NFL. And I've even heard Chris Furster talk about the fact that if you're 32, you need to move inside. 32 is the limit for guard. 31, you have to play center. So that gives you an idea of where you're at as far as arm length. So you move inside, the shorter your arms are. It's just kind of the way it goes to be able to pick up those edge guys. He ran a 5.40. That's at 90th percentile. So athleticism, speed, definitely there. His shuttle, 4.47, the top 93rd percentile. 10-yard split, 1.73, top 80th percentile. His vertical, 31.5, top 87th percentile. Broad jump, 111, 89th percentile. Three cone, 7.53, which Kyle Shanahan talked about being very important when it comes to reach blocks and being able to make those plays. He's top 81 percentile. And then bench press, 36 reps of 225, the top 99 percentile. Athletically, this dude is one of the most athletic offensive linemen in the entire draft. He would have been the third best athleticism-wise in the entire draft. Dude is a freak when it comes to athleticism. He does have some physical issues when it comes to the traits that you're looking for at playing offensive tackle, especially because of the length of arm. So let's talk about some of the things he did well. What I watched on film, we talked about the ability in the three cone, which Kyle Shanahan said helps you with reach blocks. Guess what? He's excellent on reach blocks. He does that good. He has great initial quickness, quick off the ball, seals on the backside very well. Those are things that he handles pretty good. He's a smart guy who's able to handle when teams are running stunts. He reacts really well to twists and stunts up front. That's a good trait, especially if you're moving a guy to the interior where you're going to get defensive ends looping back towards you, and you got to be able to pick them up. And he has a good sense of timing when it comes. He knows when to get off guys. But when you're pushing to second level, a lot of times, especially in zone, you're a guard. You're going to be able to give help, and then eventually you've got to push up to second level. He's got good timing when it comes to doing that. He is a beast when it comes to the run game. He plays nasty. There was a lot of plays I saw on film where he finished guys off, finishes them on the ground, throws them down, hits them. So he's got a definite demeanor for run blocking. I know a lot of coaches would really like to really like that mindset. Then he is a guy that's a great athlete. We talked about his numbers. He looks good when it comes to mobility. His footwork is usually pretty clean, and he looks light on his feet. He carries his weight well. Wouldn't mind seeing him put 5 to 10 pounds more on as long as he doesn't lose any of that speed. Good lateral quickness. He's able to shuffle pretty good. Lower body does a good job, and this is something I saw on film. He mirrors guys pretty good. When it comes to pass defense, if he can get in front of them and mirror them, he's really good. That's why I think moving inside is really good for him. That's going to be great because I've seen some weaknesses when it comes to that, and we're going to be talking about it a little bit in just a second. So he got that killer instinct, one of those guys that wants to finish at all times. His awareness is pretty good. I like that about him. And then he's fluid when it comes to adjustments at the second level. So if he's running and he's trying to get to a second level block, a linebacker, and that linebacker adjusts, he's able to adjust and get to him because he's a fluid athlete. He doesn't have to stay on one direct line. You want to get on a direct line so you can cut the guy off, but if something changes, you got to be able to change. Some offensive linemen aren't capable of doing that. They'll just keep running right by, and they're just not athletic enough. The linebacker comes off. He's able to make a tackle because you couldn't adjust. That doesn't happen here. Kingston is able to adjust, and so I really did like that about him. And because of the quick feet, you know, that change of direction, that's what he can do. Those are advantages to him. That's like Jake Brendel. That's one thing Brendel does well. He just doesn't maintain blocks, but he does that. So let's talk about some of the things he struggles a little bit on. So he needs to work on his technique and pass protection. This is what I wrote. He'll lean inside, lose pass rusher around the edge. So what he does is a lot of times he'll set. It is kick slide, and you know, here I am going through my kick slide. But he sets, and then what happens is he sort of gathers and kind of he's worried about getting beat inside, which that's why you got to keep that lean on the inside just in case. And he kind of sets his feet and stops his feet for a second and then tries to pick them back up. With a speed rusher, a lot of times they'll beat him around the outside. So that was a weakness that I saw on film when it come to Kingston. So he's got to get a little bit better on that. He's got to have a feel. That's why I think moving him in where he doesn't have to worry about a speed rusher with so much distance. That distance, sometimes you have to make it up. You have to kind of go to him in your slide, and it creates a little bit of opportunity for that guy to go back inside. Or if you get him on the inside, there's less space, less room, and a less dynamic pass rusher that you're working against. So that's something that he's got to work on. Sometimes he does have poor balance because he will reach and lunge when he goes to strike. So he'll go with his initial punch. So here comes the guy. Boom, goes the punch, and he leans. He gets a forward lean. Too much body weight going there because he's trying to generate power. He needs to get more power from underneath, from his hips, from his lower body, and try and generate less from the upper body. Less upper body movement or lower body movement will help him stay balanced where he doesn't have to lean forward and get that bend and end up getting a defensive lineman that gets him off balance, because that will be a real problem for him no matter who he's playing, whether it's an outside edge defender or an inside guy. And then also trying to mirror against quickness on the outside can be a problem. Sometimes I would see him in front of the guy, he'd be mirroring him, moving back and forth, and the guy was just too quick would jump inside and then jump back out, or jump out and then jump in. He would not be able to handle it. I think on the interior with defensive tackles, that will be a little bit different. So far, he showed the ability to anchor. I would worry a little bit about him having enough lead in his pants to be able to anchor consistently against big defensive tackles. That's something I want to see. I didn't see enough of it in film right now to see how he would handle going against, you know, big 320, 330-pound defensive linemen and what that would mean as far as him moving back. Quickness-wise, he should be able to handle the quicker guys. But those are going to be some question marks we still have to find. But fun prospect because he has all the athleticism in the world and all the ability to get better. So you're, once again, 49ers betting on traits. What have we talked about so far? You know, it's traits, especially when once they got to Garendo. It was like speed for Garendo, speed for Cowling. And now here we are with Kingston, speed for Jarrett Kingston as well. Athleticism, guys that have elite traits that possibly you can get something out of. The 49ers went with speed on the inside when it came to the offensive line. The 49ers didn't address offensive tackle. They definitely put the focus on the interior part of the offensive line for some of their decisions, and we'll see what happens. They said they're high on, you know, Jalen Moore. We'll see if that's the case. With the last pick in the seventh round that the 49ers had available, they picked 251. They finally addressed another position that 49ers have been talking about a lot, and that is linebacker. And they went with Tatum Bethune, linebacker, Florida State. And so because it's Florida State, seen a lot of his film. So I was very aware of who Bethune was. I knew athletically he wasn't as gifted as Kalen DeLoach, another linebacker that was available. But DeLoach is a lot smaller and a lot different when it came to play style than Bethune. Bethune is a fun player because he's physical and he has all the ability in the world. Let's talk about him a little bit. He's 6 foot tall, undersized for most linebacker rooms, and 49ers, you know, no different. They normally like their linebackers a little bit taller, but you see the guy. He's got some ability there, and his 40 time was a 4.69. That's not fast, and that's not fast a linebacker to be able to go sideline to sideline. We'll talk about that a little bit in a second. 16 bench press reps, which isn't the strongest thing, but what is he really good at? He's good in coverage. He's good at looking in the backfield, reading, and then being able to play zone coverage. He does that really good. Good feel and coverage means a lot of times he gets to the receiver right when the ball gets to the receiver and is able to get up some of those, able to get some PBUs, and also gives up less yards after the catch. With linebackers, yeah, the receiver may make the catch, but tackle him right there. Yards after the catch are the real problem. So he's able to do that well, and that, a lot of that comes from that football IQ, being able to understand what's going on there. Now, I think he has football speed, and the football speed, like I talked about, allows him to be able to move faster on the field because he's not thinking, and he's able to get where he needs to get. And sometimes, even though he's 4.69 as far as his 40-yard dash, he was able to stay with and run down receivers in man coverage. Very impressive. He handles misdirection very well, changes direction ability. He changes direction very good. And then when he finds his window, he comes downhill with force and he puts it on you. He brings the wood. I love the physicality. Every time he finds an open window, that's what he's trying to do, get downhill. He does a pretty good job at it. And I love that. That means you have a nose for the football in the running game. Now, his fluidity in his hips is good. He's able to turn and run. So he can be used in man coverage as a linebacker. So you need to have linebackers that can cover in this NFL, and he's one of those guys that can do it. He can turn, he can run with tight ends, he can run with running backs, and that's kind of the new way of the NFL, putting running backs out there and trying to get matchups against your linebacker. Well, if you have a linebacker that can match up with them and fluidly run with them and keep good coverage, that has that mental makeup and football mentality to be able to cover them, that's really huge. He's a intelligent player that can play all three positions. And I know he's undersized, but that's the kind of intelligence he has. This guy is a smart football mind. You could put him anywhere, and he'll be able to handle it no matter how big or small he is or how athletic or, you know, 40-yard dash says that he is. He's got the instincts to be able to go out there and make plays and has the instincts to find the ball in traffic. He does a really good job with that. And he's got necessary size and athleticism. He's good enough size and speed. He's worthy of development, in my opinion, 251 was a good spot for him. Let's talk about some of the weaknesses that I saw. Sometimes he gets caught with his eyes in the backfield too much, you know, and loses track of where he's supposed to be. And then when it comes to big physical running backs, sometimes they will break his tackles. He's got to get better at getting guys to the ground. So big physical running backs, big physical players are going to be a little bit of a problem right now. He needs to get more physical when it comes to tackling. He has to be in the correct position to be able to make those tackles. If he's stretching, if he's leaning, if he's out of his framework, there's a chance that we could get a broken tackle there. So that's something he's going to have to get better at. And I think he needs to get better at using his hands to shed blocks. Even though I've seen him shedding blocks, I think there's an improvement that could be done there. He needs to vary up his moves, be able to get consistent with using his leverage as a shorter guy to be able to get underneath some of these bigger offensive linemen or bigger tight ends that are coming at him, and then use his techniques in his hands to be able to get those hands off, wrist control, get where you need to get, because disengaging is something he has to do, and that's a priority that he needs to improve. So he's definitely a guy that, you know, has special teams help as well, and the 49ers got a linebacker they think they can develop, and we've seen them develop linebackers through the years, undrafted free agents that have helped, whether he's Al Shire, Demetrius Flanagan Fowles that have helped the football team, or guys that they've drafted that they've developed, like Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner. So 49ers go linebacker there at the end of the draft. And, you know, overall, day three was interesting. You know, the Malik Mustafa, I don't think, was a big surprise. Safety was definitely a priority. But the jump up with the 2 fifth-round picks for Isaac Grendo, what got everyone's attention, and let's be honest, because it was running back, it got more people's attention, because there have been some failed attempts by Kyle Shanahan to find running backs. Guys like Trey Sermon and TDP are on a lot of people's minds in the third round. And so this was a fourth-round pick, and the 49ers thought it was going to be a good one. I think they got a lot of speed. They got a lot of athleticism. They got guys maybe they can develop into the future and do some things for this team down the road. I am curious to see how it's going to be. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, they also did sign some undrafted free agents. I'm going to get into that as well this week with another new episode, because I want to keep talking about these guys, and there were some interesting undrafted free agents. So be on the lookout for that. Like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I really appreciate it. This episode brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. I'll catch you guys all on the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.